right. Thank you for that message. That's the message. It's the book. Amen. The one we hold in our hand, as the song said. Amen. Thank you so much. I don't know if you might have noticed tonight, but I like the song service kind of on the happy side. And I keep saying it. Too many Christians look like they've been weaned on dill pickles. And they'd eat corn out of a Coca-Cola bottle, their faces so long. That's too bad. We're supposed to be happy about going to heaven, amen? What's wrong with being happy about it, amen? I tell you what, I appreciate that. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to kind of move through some of these verses a little bit in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, maybe down through about verse 9. And talk about it's time to wake up. And now, quite honestly, sometimes we wake up kind of slow, or we wake up kind of feeling like, well, we didn't get enough sleep. But spiritually speaking, it's time to wake up. Time to have a wake-up call. In the old days, I don't trust it too much anymore, because now they'll tell you to punch the buttons and do it yourself. But sometimes I stay at a motel, I'd tell them, how about giving me a wake-up call, maybe about 6 a.m. or whatever I want to get up. And don't trust them too much. Sometimes they're asleep. Amen. But the text here, you'll spot it in the verses, says, But of the times, in all the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But, and I like the words, three letters, B-U-T, but it changes across the street. And the opposite true. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That's talking about saved people. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, drunken in the night. But again, here we go, changing the gear again. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet the hope of salvation. And then I really like verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now salvation there, spiritually first, but also salvation from the trouble that's coming. From the wrath of God that's coming. No doubt about it, that's what he's talking about. And sometimes people sleep physically. Proverbs warns about what can happen to the person that's a sleepyhead, so to speak. Proverbs 6:10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What he's saying here is that some folks bring on themselves all the lack in their life because they just don't do what God tells them. By the way, God is in the work ethic. Did you know that? God doesn't condone laziness. What we got today is a society that wants somebody else to work and give what we earn to them so they can just be lazy. That's not right, and that's not Bible, by the way. But the worst kind of sleep is spiritual sleep, and we'll talk about that maybe in just a little bit. These verses are kind of trying to awake us a little bit. You know, a preacher's job is not only to comfort the disturbed, but to disturb the comfortable. It's our job, Peter tells us, to stir folks up. Kind of wake them up, as it were. And so we're not supposed, verse 6 here, we're not supposed to sleep. We're supposed to be busy about the Lord's business and aware and alert about what is going around us. I want to say a few things about that tonight. We ought to wake up to, because of the days that are here, the times I'm talking about that are here. They're sinful times. They're awful times. We said when the president got elected, it was such a phenomenon, such an unexpected thing, until we believed maybe God was in it and God was buying us some time, and maybe God was going to wake us up a little bit in America. And I'll say this for him, he has woke up some folks. Sad truth is he's woke up the enemy. And sometimes it looks like his side is sleeping while the enemy's is all stirred up. But you know what? I'll be honest, in the primaries, I voted for Cruz, but then I began to see God's hand. I thought, could it be that God is about to give America a second chance, about to wake us up? And I've caught some static over letting my feelings be known from the pulpit, but I haven't lost any sleep over it. I'll tell you that. And so it sort of picked up at the door this morning, and you know whether a preacher is brave or not if he'll go to the door after he preaches. And I went to the door this morning, and of course, I'm joking about that. Once in a while, I have somebody that comes out and tests me a little bit, but not too often. I believe it was Brother Booker Stevens that come out this morning. It was, you know, folks were kind of crowded out, and I was shaking hands, and I'm not sure who it was that gave me this. Now, if you didn't come to church tonight, you're missing this if you're just listening to the radio. Maybe streaming, you might see some of it. This is a pen. It actually writes pretty good. It's made like President Trump. And on the front, he's got on boxing gloves. He is a fighter. And I'm going to put this up close to the microphone because he's got something to say. So turn up your hearing aids. See if I can make it work.
I'm going to build a wall.
How many of you heard that? Said, I'm going to build a wall. Let's see what else he's got to say.
Make America great again.
Amen. That's cute. Maybe God did do something. You've heard me say before that the Jews, Israel, think so. They think God put him in. They even minted a coin, a temple coin, and it's about the size of a half dollar, and it's got Trump's picture on it, and it's got Cyrus the Great, king in history. You read about in the book of Daniel that was a friend to help the Jews. And they think maybe God raised up another Cyrus the Great to come in, and maybe he did. Maybe he did. But we are in days, folks, that are evil and sinful, and if there's ever been a time we needed God's man with a plan, it's now. And this is what a lot of, the pious and limp-wristed crowd out there don't quite understand. God had to put a man in there that was a little different to handle the mess that we were in. That's what I think. I really do. We're in immoral days, abortion on demand, baby parts being sold, homosexual lobby getting their way across the land, starting with their curriculum, getting it into kindergarten and through our school rooms and all of that. We hear about it all the time. Their agenda in the schools. And the sad part is Christians seem to be asleep. A coldness has moved in. Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Talking about Christians, God's people, waxing cold. You see, all you have to do, and somebody said this over and over, all that it takes for defeat is for good men to do nothing. You say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but did you do anything right? Well, I didn't commit that sin. How about the sin of omission? Not doing anything when you knew to do something and could have done something and could have spoke up maybe when we didn't. And what we're needing today is to live a Christian life, attend the house of God, live a clean life, support the cause of Christ. And listen, your family will be blessed if you follow God's rules and his cause will be blessed because you follow his rules. You know, we've slipped so much from families that used to take this book. They were singing about it a while ago, this blessed old book. They used to raise their family by this book. They knew right and wrong because they knew what God said about it. And they didn't have to wait till the latest poll come out or the latest psychiatrist wrote about something. They knew what God said about it. And when something contradicted the Bible, they stuck with the Bible. And God blessed our country during those days as the families followed him and obeyed his word. And that's exactly what we're still needing today. Needing today. Family discipline. I heard a black preacher say this. He said, when I was young, he said, in my neighborhood, he said, if I went out maybe a few houses down or somewhere and I'd done something wrong, he said, the lady of that house, the mama of that house, would come out and snatch me up and whip me just like I was her own. And then she'd bring me home to mama, and mama would whip me again. He said, the neighborhood would look after you back in there. They knew what was right and wrong. They had a Christian attitude toward things. And I've seen some old mamas that was tough like that. I think about the young policeman that was filling out a form to get a job with the police department, and they had several questions. And one of the questions there to test him was, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He said, I'd call for backup. Now, what he meant was that'd be a tough job, buddy. Amen. Well, that's what made our country great. That's what made our churches work. That's what made society work. And oh, how we need to get back to that. We need to wake up. We've let some things slip. And the days that are here should wake us up. And the danger ahead ought to wake us up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now listen to me. It didn't say knowing the love of the Lord. It said the terror of the Lord. See, we've gotten to the place that we've swung one way too much. We do a pretty good job of telling people how God loves them, and that's fine. But there's another side. And the whole world out there needs to know both sides. They need to see God in balance. They need to see, yes, he loves you as a sinner, but he hates your sin. He hates your sin that nailed his son to a cross and get away from most of them. Listen, we invite homosexuals or the worst dirty sin you can name to come receive Christ, but not stay in their sin, but to repent of it and turn from it. That's God's plan, and that's, by the way, repentance that don't stop the sinning is not real repentance. It's not true at all. And the danger ahead, we look around today. Listen, the predicted judgment of God is arriving now, and if we have had a little reprieve with the last election, we'll find out in the next one for sure. But as we look around today and folks fear the climate change and the weather and had the earthquakes out in California and all, listen, the Bible says that stuff is going to come. But what we're hoping is we can buy some time to reach some souls and to get our families saved. And if we would buy that time, but we're not going to buy it if we keep slapping God in the face with such things as a homosexual agenda. I mean, if he hated in Sodom and Gomorrah, he has to hate what's going on today. My soul, he has to. America's turn now for judgment to fall on us for killing the babies and all the rest of it. We gotta look out for that. See, what holds back sin in a society? It's God's people. We're supposed to be salt and light. And we are to be a restrainer, a restraining force that God uses. And when the rapture takes place and God's people are called out, that restraining force is going to be removed. Folks, the worst for planet Earth is ahead. It is still ahead. There's no doubt about it. If you study the book of Revelation, I've talked through it a number of times. I don't understand all of it, of course, but I got a pretty good view of it. Do you know that close to half the population of planet Earth is killed before the book of Revelation is over? I'm talking about if there's 7 billion people now, that means 3.5 to 4 billion are going to be gone in God's judgments. Now, I like that last verse, verse 9. God's people are saved from the wrath to come. I don't believe we're going through the tribulation period. I don't believe the church is going through the tribulation period. I don't believe the Antichrist. I've had some arguments with preachers and say this, that, or the other to protect from the Antichrist. I said, look, the truth is the church is already protected from him. The church is the bride of Christ, not the bride of the Antichrist. And we need to get a hold of what we already have in God's church. And the truth is the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6 are about to ride. There's some preachers will tell you they are riding. I don't think so. There's four of them in chapter 6. Chapter 6 comes right after chapter 5. Chapter 5, John is in heaven. He receives a seven-seal book from him that sits on the throne. And when the seals are begin to be opened, they're opened in an analogy of horses riding. And it starts from a red horse and goes down to the pale horse of death and famine. That first pale horse, first white horse is not Jesus, but the Antichrist. One of the reasons I believe Trump got elected, he came out against the world plan. The world's plan is the Antichrist plan. The world's plan is globalization, one worldism. Even in the primaries, Trump was saying something, and I listened close. I thought he's the only one saying it. He said, I'm against globalization. None of the rest of them were saying that. I think God heard that. Globalization is the Antichrist plan. And since he got in office, he's been resisting that. No wonder they hate him so bad. He's going against the grain. He's going against the world plan. And whether you like him as a man, by the way, you ought to separate the man from the plan. God liked his plan. Amen. I like his plan. His plan is a moral plan. Stop killing the babies. Take the so-called freedoms and rights that we've given the homosexual crowd to get in and have an opportunity to influence our kids. He's been against that. And that's big in this society today. I just read something come across my desk a few days ago. A Christian school, it'll happen to us. Grace of God, you better be praying for the ministers of this church, including the Christian school. I saw where a Christian school got a notice from the government that they had taken that Christian school handbook, which we have one, states our rules in it, and they had read in that handbook where that Christian school had taken a stand saying we believe in biblical marriage between a man and a woman. So they told that Christian school, you're in violation, that's discrimination. And so they're in court against that school right now. Hey, that's the stand our school takes. That's the stand any Christian school ought to take. That's the stand any church ought to take. That's the stand any Christian ought to take. Believe what God believed, what God said about marriage. It's between a man and a woman, not two men like this jerk that's running for president. This Mayor Pete out of Indiana or wherever he's at. No, the truth is there's some dangers ahead, folks. The horsemen are going to ride, but I don't believe they ride until the trumpet sounds for the bride to be caught out. The Antichrist is going to move in with his kingdom. He's going to rule for a little while, not long. And, of course, following him, we're going to see the other horses falling. Which war? The red horse is war. You remember that. Then the pale horse of death, and then the black horse of famine. All of that is telling you what's going to develop in the tribulation period. Awful time. Maybe 4 billion people killed before it's over with. In the book of Revelation. Now, sad truth is today, a lot of folks don't understand any of that, what I just said. But you know, we're children of the light. Scripture tells us we're not children of the darkness. We got a book to tell us what is right. Amen. You see, I'm saying to you, we ought to wake up because of the danger ahead. We ought to wake up because deliverance is still available. Amen. I see it here in the text. It's offered two ways. Deliverance today can come to you for the salvation of your soul, That's first and foremost, the gospel, the good news that Jesus loved you and died for you, paid for your sins on the cross, and you can be saved. But the other good news is he's going to take us out. There's going to be a catching away of his people. Boy, I tell you what, we call it the rapture, and you can get it from the Latin. You can't get it out of the English. But to say, being caught out. And verse 9 says, not appointed unto wrath. Not appointed unto wrath. I believe I can even show you the rapture in the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. Quickly, because you're on my time now. Isaiah chapter 26. Listen to this. Start in verse 19. Especially you preacher boys, mark this one. Thy dead men shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Bride chambers, maybe. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. 7-year tribulation period? Yeah. Indignation of God? Yeah. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her stain. If that's not the rapture, it'll do till it gets here. It sure sounds like it. For God's people being caught and hid away in the chambers while God's indignation pours out on judgment, in judgment on planet Earth. Wow. Deliverance is still available. You can be saved tonight. Along with that salvation comes the blessed hope that one day, before God's wrath falls on planet Earth, you'll be called out. I tell you what, that's the answer. In the meantime, we'll contend for the faith. We'll fight for what's right. We'll stand on the moral side against the immoral crowd. We'll stand for what God said is right. Yes, we will. We can do that, but our hope is not in ourselves. It's not in our government. It's not in our politicians, president, or anybody else. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. You know, 1 Peter 1:19 tells us to take heed to God's word, because it's like a light in a dark place. We are in a dark place. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. You know, the day star arises just before sunrise. Do you ever hear the saying, it's always the darkest just before the dawn? You ever hear that? Well, it really is. Some of you guys have been out hunting and stuff, and I know the rest of you don't get up that early, but truth of the matter is, you ought to do it sometime just to watch. Do you know what happens just before dawn? It does get dark. And Peter is referring, he says, the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. He's making an analogy, because if you'll go out and watch it, there's a star that pops up just before dawn. When we'd say it's the darkest, the day star arises. I think it's a picture telling God's people, one of these days, when it's dark, when the world has no hope, if you know Jesus, the day star is going to rise in your heart. We're going to rise, as verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that's good. That's good. You know, it pictures the rapture. I think it does for the one that's saved. Now, the question tonight, number one, are you saved? If you are, you've got the blessed hope to look forward to. And as things seem to get darker and seem to get worse, and man can make things worse, he doesn't make them better. He'd make things worse, but God is still promising us deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you tonight, if you don't know him, it's a late hour. You ought to make sure you know him. And to know him is to have all the hope in the world, and without him there is no hope in this world for you. Do you know him as Savior tonight? If not, we'll give you an invitation right now to come. We'll pray with you. We'll show you from the Word of God how you can leave tonight knowing if you died tonight before you awake in the morning that your soul would go to be with Him. I can't tell you anything any better than that. That's it. That's the best. Amen. Would you bow your heads and stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, probably just mostly those that are saved tonight, maybe just could be one in our midst without Christ. We pray for their soul right now. Father, there's no hope in the world. The world gets worse, but Lord, you can preserve us in the midst of the darkness, and you're doing that, and we're happy about it. We're happy because we're on the way to heaven because Jesus rescued us from this place of destruction, and in Him we have forgiveness. We have the assurance of heaven. And Father, we just can't imagine what you prepared for us. You speak to us through the songs and through the Word and through your Spirit in our heart. And we get just a little taste of heaven down here sometime. But Father, we can't fully understand it all, but it'll be a glorious time. I pray not one in this building tonight would leave lost. I pray not one Christian that's come in defeat and saying, what am I going to do, would leave with that kind of attitude. I pray they'd go away saying, you know what, it's okay. It's okay. I belong to Him, and He's my blessed hope, and it's going to turn out all right. And you just can't make me unhappy that I'm going to heaven. I pray you'd help us to think right about things and to wake up to our times and do what we can. But we trust you with it all. Thank you again. You loved us and sent your Son to die for us. And we thank you in His precious name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation verse. We give you a chance to come receive Christ. If you happen to be here without Him, now don't leave without Him. Come and receive Him tonight as Savior. You come as we sing. All